Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum. As a part of my presentation today, I wanted to have my father with me. He's here in London. He's a victim of torture, of oppression against the Muslims. But when I asked him to come and stand in front of you and say it himself, how it was, he declined. He said it's too painful for him even to remember, even to think about it. Now, for me to say that to you, it appears as a weakness from his part. But I wouldn't think so. Sometimes when he's in a good mood and he feels like he wants to talk about it, he tells us bits and pieces, never a full story. But what we know is that in 13 months that he spent in a concentration camp in Western Herzegovina, he was imprisoned by the Croats. He says that not a single bone in his body was left untouched. He said that not a single nerve in his whole body did not feel a pain of a beating and a torture. 4 months he spent in a cell deep underground. There was a water up to his waist. And there was only one plank of wood on which he was sitting, sleeping, doing everything. They used to throw bread into the water. 4 months he spent like that. He said the worst fear he had throughout that part is what's happening with his family, what's happening with his daughter, with his wife, myself, and other members of family. And he said that the worst torture was when those animals brought a woman in a cell next to his cell. And they told him that that's his daughter. And he could hear screaming, could hear all horrible things. And they made him believe that that was his daughter. What did they want from him? So that they did such a horrible thing to a person who is not practicing Muslim. He doesn't pray 5 times a day. He doesn't know much about Islam. Brought up in a communist system which did not allow education of Muslims. After Second World War, that communist system secretly killed Muslim leaders, Muslim scholars. So for 50 years, Muslims lived in almost complete ignorance. What did they want from him? He was one of those people who stood up to defend his family, his land, and he says his faith as well. For him, faith is very important, even so that from the definition of many of us, maybe he's not a true Muslim. But he was ready to die for Islam. They asked him, if you renounce Islam publicly, and if you say that you are against this war, that they would let him go, that they would give him money, give him a ticket to go to Australia or any other country, unite him with his family and leave him alone. He did not accept that. He said that after everything he did to me, the only thing left is my faith. This story can be repeated at least 750,000 times. On a small land in Europe, small country with a population before war of around 2.5 million Muslims, people who did not know much about Islam and still don't, people who were separated from the rest of the Ummah, whose scholars were regularly checked by the Communist Party. They were appointed by the Communist Party. The people who were taught that hijab is not obligatory except when a sister does a prayer, people who were cut off from their faith and still they clung to it and they fought when they were attacked. When I think about those warriors, 7 years ago, Dayton Peace Agreement was signed. The agreement that for us Bosnian Muslims is a capitulation. It's an agreement that even the people who signed it from our sides said that it's a bitter pill, but they did not have a choice. Recent documents that were revealed from the secret services and the Bosnian media show under what sort of pressure were Bosnian Muslim delegation at the Dayton conference. They were threatened. They were threatened personally. They were threatened politically. They were threatened by their own people. They were threatened by the American administration, by those people who led that conference. They said to them, if you don't accept and sign this, you will be left alone. You will be left alone, and we will support your enemies. Now, the statement that they will support our enemies at that time was an absurd, because they supported our enemies for 4 years, from the beginning of the war, when the Serbs attacked unarmed people. They did not do it out of their own thinking. They did not do it because they are somehow brave, or they think they are powerful so that they can conquer. They did it for the same reason that Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait. They were given a green light. They were encouraged. They were told that you will not be punished, you will not be persecuted. Go ahead, cleanse that place. Kick these barbarians out, the people who lived in Europe for over 500 years as a Muslims. And the Serbs took a challenge on. They thought they have arms, they have a crazed mass behind themselves. In 1989, and on Gazanistan field in Kosovo, there was over 1 million Serbs cheering for blood. At that time, that was 15% of population of all Serbs. If you look at it mathematically, 15%, 1 million, that means that there were all abled men on the field there. Only children, women, elderly, people who were working in emergency services stayed behind. So they felt that with such an organization, they can do whatever they want, especially when they have a clearance from the international powers to do the job, to do the task, to get rid of the Muslims in Europe. The concentration camps that Serbs established were as organized as the Nazi camps in the Second World War. They had a process, they had a procedure, they had aim. And it was systematic, it was planned. It was a project written on paper. Western powers knew about these concentration camps as early as the beginning of May 1992. But they declined, they decided not to do anything about it, to ignore it. It's only when they realized that the Serbs are not able to do the appointed task quickly that they were forced to act. They were forced to act by their own media, which regardless of how much is controlled, still had the independence to go and look at those concentration camps, the horrors, and to inform the people. Those same powers that sent Lord Owen, Carrington, Vance, Chirac, and other people that are now being called as witnesses in The Hague, in the trial of Milosevic, those powers did not have a choice but to acknowledge the existence of such camps. And then when they acknowledge the existence of such camps and such a happenings in the middle of the Europe, after calling themselves civilized and protectors of freedom, of democracy, and such childish stories, that they knew that eventually they would have to do something, but they didn't want to do it straight away. They gave more time to the Serbs, told them through all the secret negotiations, finish the job, get rid of them. If you do it quickly, nobody will come after you. You will be alone, you will be ruling the land. But the Serbs are cowards. And when they are faced with a soldier, but not with the women and children, they were slaughtering, when they are faced by soldiers, they don't fight that well. And when a small Bosnian Muslim community organized the resistance and they started fighting back, the Americans and the Western powers encouraged Croats, who were our allies up to that time, to attack us from behind, as saying, let's finish them quickly. The world cannot watch so much blood on a TV. This is 21st century. If you want to do another Andalusia, if you want to clear another Spain, you have to do it quickly. You don't have a 200 years as you had in Spain. There is a TV, there is a media, there is a coverage. Normal people, innocent people, even in the West, they couldn't take it. So they sent the Croats behind our back. Another army, another enemy, another monsters who put us in a sandwich, 2.5 million people facing over 20 million enemies, and ruthless enemies, enemies who believed that they are doing a holy duty by killing a Muslim, enemies who killed a Muslim not because he was praying or because he had a beard or because he was a member of Al-Qaeda or something like that, but because he only had a Muslim name, and sometimes not even a Muslim name. Sometimes he would be drinking alcohol, eating pork, not having anything with Islam. You wouldn't recognize him as a Muslim, but his father was a Muslim or had a Muslim name. And that was good enough reason to kill him. Not only to kill him, but to rape his women, his children, to plunder it, to exterminate people like mice. And this was all with the full knowledge of a British government, French government, American government, German government. Whenever they come and try to help, they help Serbs with certain negotiations or by declaring arms embargo on us who were attacked. They declared the arms embargo and they awarded the Serbs. To finish with this is a painful story, many of you know me, can go on and on. My message today would be that for us Muslims, it doesn't matter where we live, is it West, is it East, is it South, Moon, we are seen as an enemy. Regardless if we are Shia, Sunni, Brelvi, Diabandi, white, black, man, woman, practicing, non-practicing, we are enemies, we are threat. Because there is a seed in every one of us, even if we are the worst of the Muslim, there is a seed which, if it's planted, can grow into a system, into society that kuffar fears. That kuffar knows that sooner or later will destroy their system. When? Allahu Alam. But they know it will happen and they work against it. They prepare for hundreds and hundreds of years. I heard good speakers today and I enjoy the conference. I won't take much of your time because the program is already running late. I would like to leave the message not of weakness, but message of strength. We Muslims too often portray ourselves as weak. We're not weak. No, we are portrayed as weak. We are strong. We have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't have to fear anybody. We don't even need a big number. As Dr. Amelie said, this dunya for us is a prison. So they can't do anything more to us. If they kill us, alhamdulillah. If they torture us, alhamdulillah. But our duty is not to lie back, not to accept what they do to us with silence or without resistance. To all the brothers all over the world, I just send a message of power, message of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.